B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, great. I don't think it's any secret that the NFL is looking for new stars. They're looking for the younger generation to lead the NFL going forward here as we progress, you know, over the next 20, 30 years. Like, the old guard is kind of on its way out. Tom Brady, there's no more Peyton Manning, Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers. All these guys are getting older, up in their high 30s, early 40s, and the league is transitioning right now. So Patrick is the face of the NFL. Lamar's the face of the NFL. Dak's going to be the face of the NFL. Russell, Deshaun, these guys now carry the big stick, so to speak. These guys are the ones that are going to lead the league in jersey sales. These guys are going to be the ones that kids are going to be aspiring to be. So they understand that the platform they have, they understand the influence that they have. And when you have those players in particular who are now at the forefront of the message that players are trying to convey to the rest of the world, which is that, hey, social injustices and racial inequality are just something that we're not going to stand for anymore. And we know that we have the platform now to get your attention. We know that you are paying attention to us because the fact of the matter is you pay attention to the stars. You pay attention to the people who are the best players in the NFL. And that is something that is very powerful. That is something that is very significant. And that is something that is going to carry a lot of weight going forward.
Fourth and final hour, Felger and Maz on Reentry Monday. Mike is out today. Jim Murray alongside. He is with Matt McCarthy back at our studio in Dorchester. I'm obviously coming to you from home here today. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, Billy Lanny, Director of Communications, also at our studio in Dorchester. Phones are open, 617-779-0985. But I thought that observation by Lewis Riddick, and we wanted to play it for you earlier today. We had some technical difficulties at our studio in Dorchester, so we couldn't play audio for a little while. But that's Lewis Riddick of ESPN making what I thought is a critical point. And just to lay out the timeline here, because Roger Goodell is getting a lot of credit, a lot of love for that video on Friday, and I think the timeline is important. That Goodell's video, and Matt McCarthy, I'm not trying to pick on you. You said earlier, you know, the NFL got out in front of this thing. The NFL said nothing till the end of the week. Last week, the NFL was, in the eyes of a lot of people, dragging its feet and doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. By their standards, they got out in front of it, Maz, saying much.
No, I'm just telling you what the perspective is by many people. Now, there was a video that came out Thursday night. From NFL players that involved a number of high-profile players in the league, Michael Thomas, and more importantly, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, in which players expressed their solidarity. And really, I thought it was extremely well done. And Murray, you alluded to this earlier. The guy who made the video was a video producer for the NFL, whose name is Brendan Minter. Yeah, and who actually created the video on his own, knowing that the league might frown upon it, and that it ultimately could cost him his job. So he did an interview with the Athletic where he talked about the league's statement that the league apparently did make a statement that I don't even remember because it was so pathetic in the aftermath of the riots and the looting and the response to the George Floyd death, among other things in the last several weeks. And I'm reading now directly from a post on NFL or on ProFootballTalk.com. Minter's frustration grew throughout the week following the issuance of an NFL statement that was widely criticized for stating nothing. And an understanding in league circles that management-level employees with the league plan to continue to simply post game highlights on social media even as protests grew and grew. It was incredibly inappropriate, Minter told The Athletic. And again, Minter is this video producer at the NFL that works for the website. As of Monday night, people thought that was a good move, and that pissed me off so much. When the league and company we work for doesn't simply come out and condemn racism, as simple as that, people start to morally have issues with that. So Minter then reached out to Michael Thomas on Wednesday night. They got a bunch of players involved, and they put the player video out there. And again, Patrick Mahomes in that video, as was Deshaun Watson. But Mahomes is obviously an especially important figure in the league now. And I asked you two guys this question earlier. I'll ask it again because the point is worth amplifying. Who's the most important player in the NFL right now?
Oh, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, not even a question about it.
I mean, it's a runaway. Mahomes is a Super Bowl champion now. He's an MVP. He's won each of those the last 2 years. 2 years ago, he was the MVP. Last year, he won the Super Bowl. This past season was the first time in league history that the Super Bowl-winning quarterback and the MVP of the league were both African-American. Do I have that right, Murray? Or is it just quarterback, African-American quarterback won the MVP and African-American quarterback won the Super Bowl? That's what it is. That's what it is. And so ESPN also made reference to this morning when Riddick was on. The five top quarterbacks in the league based on QBR, four of them African-American. Five of the top seven, African-American. And Patrick Mahomes now has a tremendous amount of pull and power in that league. And him being in that video, it feels to me, helped evoke the response by Goodell on Friday. And once Goodell and the league saw that Patrick Mahomes and those players were as vocal as they were, they felt it important and incumbent to get out there and express the same message and issue their support. Am I reading that right, Murray, or am I not reading that right? You tell me, how do you read it?
Yeah, you know, those after that video came out the night before, they forced the hand. They had to put something out, and so that's what Goodell did.
I mean, it's hard to think now that the league could reverse and not allow protests in the fall when players are kneeling on the sidelines. And again, by the way, I said four of the top five quarterbacks in the league this year in terms of QBR were African-American. Russell Wilson was obviously one of the others. Dak Prescott was on that list, and the other, Drew Brees, placed his foot in his mouth last week and then promptly reversed course. Okay, so we have that to talk about. Goodell's seeming decision on Friday night, if that's what you want to call it, with regard to protests on the sidelines. How do you feel about that? And the ongoing dispute between MLB players and owners, which seems to go nowhere and is leading everybody towards the same conclusion, I think. David in New Bedford. David, what do you got?
Yes, my opinion is I think I'm more or less optimistic about the season returning, and I think the players just don't want to have a season. They don't want to make the changes to help the game get better. And my question for you guys is, how do you feel about Commissioner Rob Manfred? Do you think he's doing a good job, or do you think they should have a change at commissioner? Thank you.
Okay, so let me ask you guys that right away. Murray and McCarthy, how do you feel about the job Manfred's doing?
McCarthy, you start. It's your sport. You care about it.
Yes. As I said last Friday, Maz, and the offer still stands, I would like to invite Rob Manfred cordially, along with Tony Clark, to come kiss my ass. Both of them simultaneously. Rob Manfred has done a horrendous job as MLB commissioner. You know, for somebody who has said he wants changes and pitch clocks and wants to improve pace of play, he has done nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now the game is embroiled in the biggest labor dispute we've had since 1994. Whether it ends up in a work stoppage or the season not happening, I'm not sure. Rob Manfred needs to go. In fact, I would like to announce my candidacy right now to become commissioner of baseball, because I'm at least one of the three people in the country who still gives a damn about this sport, and I would promote meaningful, positive change. Rob Manfred's been horrific. He needs to go.
He is toothless. Like Matt mentions, you know, he talks a big game and like how he's going to implement all these changes and things like the pitch clock. And then when push comes to shove, he bows down to the players. And it's just that you're never going to have those kind of changes in the game. It's going to make the game more palatable for people like me and casual fans, because he's just never going to do anything about it. You can talk to your blue in the face about everything you're going to do to try to help the game and move it along, and then you're ultimately afraid of the players' union, and you're not going to force it down their throats. He hadn't done a good job. He really hasn't.
Real quick, if you need to know anything about Rob Manfred, go to Netflix, watch the documentary Screwball, which is about Alex Rodriguez biogenesis scandal. God, does Rob Manfred look horrible in that. Go watch it. I'm telling you, it's worth your time.
So, look, MLB always tries to sweep stuff under the rug in these sorts of things. They tried to do it with the Astros scandal. Mm-hmm. And the only reason that thing became public is because the Athletic found out about it. So I would tell you that thus far, it hasn't been great, for sure. Manfred was a deal maker when Bud Selig was the commissioner. He was the guy that would sit down and ultimately make the deal and get the labor agreement done. And baseball had labor peace for a long, long time. And I think Manfred had a significant hand in that. But I also think they're at a stage now where things are getting nasty. And see, I'm not ready to fire Rob Manfred, Matt, but I am willing to say that I think that how this whole thing plays out is ultimately going to decide his legacy. And when I say how this whole thing plays out, if there's a work stoppage, I'm not sure that that's necessarily bad. It may work out in the league's favor, in the commissioner's favor, because if there's any chance to, for baseball to get fixed, I think it's going to be required for them to go to war with the players here in the next several weeks, few weeks, or in the next several months. I just think the game needs a crisis because the quality of the product on the field sucks. Everybody knows it. And ultimately, they're either going to fix it or they're not. And if Manfred is the guy who can fix it and straighten us out, then he will be remembered well. His legacy will be good, you know, in the aftermath. Up until then, you know, as of right now, it's hard to feel good about where the game is. But that doesn't mean that he can't pull him out of it.
I don't think he's bold enough, Maz. Yeah, I just don't think he's bold enough.
So you might be right. You might be right. If the game comes back better, he'll come out better. If the game doesn't come out any better, he's going to look worse. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls next.
Dugger Maz.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Show some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, we'll get right back to your phone calls here. We'll kick it off with, it's always a dangerous thing. Oh, this is a good one, though. A little offbeat topic today on Reentry Monday. We'll go with it. Brian in a car. Brian, go.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the Masters, if I could, down at Augusta National. I can't see any way they can get through this unscathed, considering their racist history. They've never acknowledged it, and they've never been held culpable for it. I wish someone like Tiger Woods would step up and use his forum to say something about that. I don't think he will, but I'd like to see him do it. Now's the time to do it.
Okay, so I didn't think you were going there, but, you know, it's an interesting point that the Masters certainly will face a lot of these issues when they come back in November. And it obviously is a tournament at a club that has endured a great deal of criticism over the years. In fact, wasn't it at the Masters dinner where Fuzzy Zeller made the comment about
Tiger Woods
the year after Tiger won his first Masters?
Yes, yeah.
But okay, so that's what I thought. I couldn't remember. I know there have been incidents with other golf clubs. So it's a good point. I thought the caller was going to celebrate the return of golf this weekend. That's what I thought. I know, Murray, I don't know if you care, but are you going to watch a golf tournament?
I didn't even know it happened.
No, it hasn't happened yet. It's going to be on this week.
Oh, I will not.
Okay. McCarthy? Watch golf?
Oh, God, I'll be watching every single shot, Maz. I don't care if it's Rory McIlroy or Justin Thomas or some guy I've never heard of. I will be watching every single shot. A, I'm a golf fan. I'm addicted. But B, I just need sports. Give me sports. Give me the golf. All of the golf.
So this is the week that the PGA resumes play. And they've targeted this date for a long time now. This was said, as you remember, weeks ago. But the tournament starts on Thursday. And Matt, I don't know if you have it in front of you. I know I'm putting you on the spot. Excuse me. I know I'm putting you on the spot here. Is this the, what is this? Is this the Byron Nelson?
This is the Colonial.
Oh, this is the Colonial.
Yep.
Okay. So another big tournament, popular tour stop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it'll be nice to see a live event on, even if it is something that Murray doesn't like. Tom is on Milford. Tom's in Milford, rather. Tom, what do you got?
So I think you're underselling the importance of Goodell's statement in view of the big picture here. I think the NFL is the single most influential United States company right now. And Goodell makes his decisions not only on what he thinks is right, but also on which way the wind is blowing. So the fact that 3 years ago they were quaking in their boots based on what the president was throwing at them, and now they're willing to go against him is an indication that Black Lives Matter is one, that President Trump is not going to be reelected, and that the tide is turned, that we're, you know, they don't do this lightly, and it's like when the Republicans started to go against Nixon during the Watergate years.
Okay, so Tom, I'll tell you, I'm not going to carry this into what ramifications it has for the election, but in terms of what the owners have chosen or which side they've chosen, I think there's a fair point there that a lot of NFL owners have been supporters of Donald Trump, and certainly, as we mentioned earlier, Woody Johnson, the owner of the New York Jets, is the ambassador to, is it Great Britain, Murray, or the United Kingdom?
UK. The UK. Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, there are allegiances there to Trump that are indisputable. And yet you have the commissioner of the league who, if nothing else, represents the 32 owners in the league. I think we all agree that Roger Goodell works for the owners who own the 32 franchises in the NFL. And now you have the commissioner coming out and making a very seemingly clear statement as to which side he has chosen in support of the black players in the league and Black Lives Matter. And, you know, it'll be I can't imagine that the league is somehow going to reverse field and not allow protests on the sidelines in the fall after what Goodell said on Friday night in that video.
No, no shot. It's not like he went rogue and made the video by himself. Like, it was co-signed by at least a handful of very influential owners.
Well, that's right. Yeah, and those owners typically have the greatest influence in the league, Murray. That's right. And so, you know, the interesting thing to find out would be whether Jerry Jones was one of those owners, and I highly doubt it. Paul's in New Haven. Go ahead, Paul. Paulie, there.
I'm here. I was just wondering, with everything that's been going on with Drew Brees lately, if y'all think this will be his last season.
I mean, it was going to be even before
he
put his foot in his mouth last week.
Yeah, correct.
This is it. This is his final season. There was speculation as to whether or not he was going to retire a few months ago. And now that this is it. It's his final year anyway. What I didn't agree with was Shannon Sharp the day of, or, you know, the day after the fallout of what he told that Yahoo Business reporter, like, oh, he needs to retire now. Like, calm down.
Yeah, I was going to say the callers have been at peak form today, Murray, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, they always suck.
Yeah. Oh, God. Some days are worse than others, though, Murray. This one, to me, is up near the top of the list for sure. And I do want to get to some other stuff in the next segment, because we had a caller earlier in the day, Tom and Quincy, who I don't know if you guys noticed, when he first came on, started coughing and cleared his throat, which reminded me that I wanted to ask you guys about the weekend. Okay, I want to ask you guys about the weekend and some things that went along with it. And I totally forgot, because with all the stuff that's been going on, we've had technical issues. We haven't been able to play audio. And then when we finally were, I wanted to catch up on some of the stuff we missed. But I had some specific questions for you guys, because I had an epiphany over the weekend in the midst of this pandemic that that I'm sure you guys had long ago. I was just a little slower to arrive at it. So anyway, Matt McCarthy, not Matt Murray, Matt McCarthy will get you caught up on headlines. We'll continue with your calls when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back here on Felger and Mass, re-entry Monday. Mike's out. I'm working from home. Jim Murray is at our studio in Dorchester, as is Matt McCarthy, who's filling in on headlines. Jimmy Stewart, Billy Landy there, as always. You guys are like the concrete of this thing, for crying out loud. Always there, Jimmy and Billy. Ever notice that, Murray? They're always there.
Ah, yes.
Every time. So let me ask you guys a question, because this occurred to me over the weekend, and you're going to say, when I get to the point, you're going to say, well, no kidding, you moron. So in the midst of this pandemic, given the limited options, what do you find harder, the weekends or the weekdays?
The weekdays.
You do?
Yeah.
McCarthy, what about you?
I don't know, Maz. I mean, I'm still working my full-time gig. I would say the weekends.
Okay, for me, it is the weekends in a runaway. It is not even close. Without the structure of my workday, I am a complete freaking mess on the weekends. So what I was going to ask you, Murray, is that in the absence of golf, okay, take golf out, because mm-hmm. that's an easy one. Everyone's on the golf course. And I know you're working on Saturdays, Murray, but let's just assume that you weren't. So on the weekend, with no golf and no work, what are you doing?
A lot of sleeping.
Okay.
Sitting, going on long walks with the wife, mostly getting blackout drunk. I mean, I know you say take golf out of it, so I have golfed, and I had also been going to hit a few buckets at a driving range that will remain nameless because they were operating in defiance of the fathead governor. But as of yesterday...
Underground driving range.
Yeah, but that's been halted. I went to go yesterday, but they were closed, probably no doubt thanks to some rat puke who told on them. So I was able to do that. But I think they're now part of phase two or whatever. So they're open. Oh, so yeah.
They're open again. Yeah. Today, I think they opened again.
Should have been open the whole time. But I'll go back to doing that. But mostly it's, sleeping, sitting around, hiking, walking, getting drunk.
Okay, McCarthy, you?
One weekend, I just drove aimlessly. I got in the car. I drove. I ended up in a place, not Braintree, New Braintree. You ever heard of it?
Never did even know that.
No.
Good luck finding it on a map. It's in Massachusetts. I ended up there. That's what I did. I drove. I didn't know where I was. I just kept driving.
So
it was great.
I played golf yesterday afternoon, but typically I play in the morning. And so yesterday morning I had nothing to do, and I was out of my mind. I was completely out of my mind. So Murray, I don't know how you do it. Like, I need the structure of the day on the weekends. It's brutal. I find it absolutely freaking brutal to get through the weekends right now. At least on Monday, I know at 2 o'clock that we're all sitting where we're sitting, and this is what I'll be doing at 2 o'clock every day during the week. Saturday and Sunday, were it not for golf, I have no idea what I would be doing.
Yeah, I mean,
here's the other thing. You hear me clear my throat? It's happened to me a couple of times today. It brings me to this. Our buddy Tom in Quincy called earlier, and he calls pretty much daily. He's a regular on the Felger and Mass program. I want you to listen to the beginning of Tom and Quincy's phone call. Go ahead. Thomas and Quincy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, when I called Friday.
Okay, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Hey, when I called Friday.
Okay, he starts to, he has to clear his throat because his voice is starting to fade, right?
Hey,
right? Why do you think that is?
Allergies. The worst.
Isn't it effing brutal?
It's the worst season I can ever remember, Maz. It's unbelievable.
Holy crap. It is so bad. It's been so bad in the last 4 or 5 days. I can't even begin to tell you how bad it has been. I can't breathe. My eyes are itchy. I'm constantly rubbing them. I'm taking allergy medication. I don't think it's working. None of it. I have found it to be insufferable with regard to allergies in the last week. Please tell me it's not just me.
It's not just you, Maz. I had to get tested for COVID. Like a week and a half ago, because it was so bad, and my doctor came back, and the test was negative, thank God. And they're like, yeah, you've got allergies. I'm like, well, yeah, it's been the worst I can ever remember. It's horrific.
I don't ever remember it this bad, and I take Flonase or Zyrtec, and some days it works. But lately, like you mentioned, I think, this last week, and especially the last 3 days or so, and specifically where I live, I don't know what it is or what, what bushes and trees are having sex, but it's way out of control. My cars are covered. My wife and I are like, we can't even breathe. It's been brutal this last 2 or 3 days.
My shoes are yellow. They're black, but they're yellow with the pollen.
So I remember going through phases or stages in other years where, fine, you get the coat of pollen. We all know it happens all the time. But this year, oh, my gosh, it's out of control. Absolutely out of control. I just cannot remember it being at all like this, ever even remotely like this.
And they're
Which is probably why I'm so pissed off at Major League Baseball. Go, Matt.
Then they're saying it's going to be the worst bug season, worst mosquito season in a long, long time. So get ready. We got more Triple E coming this summer and fall. Everything, as they say on the simulcast, everything is awesome. It's great.
All we need is the Murder Hornets.
Bring them on.
That's all we need.
I'm Team Murder Hornet at this point, Maz.
Let's go back to the phones. Joe's in New York on Major League Baseball and its problems. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, hey, guys. So I think the number one thing that baseball needs to fix it is a pitch clock, because I think that the pace of play is what's really the big problem, more even than the length of the games. But I want to prove this point by an analogy to the NBA's shot clock, which was introduced in 1954 because the NBA was not popular up until that point because I don't know if you guys know this, but what teams would do when they had a lead is they would just pass the ball around, spread out in the half court. And
so, Joe, I'm going to let you go because we don't need a history lesson on basketball. But, yes, a play didn't move quickly enough. They instituted the shot clock, and the game has changed, and we have now the game as we know it. Matt McCarthy, would putting in a pitch clock fix all of baseball's problems?
It wouldn't fix all of baseball's problems, but it's one of the most important things the game can do. And when I'm saying that, Maz, I think you know me. I'm a baseball traditionalist. I love the pitcher hitting. Like, I'm Mr. Old School Baseball. Even I want a pitch clock at this point because it's become so ridiculous. It's one of the most important steps they can take. I think the second most important step they can take is changing the presentation on television, cutting down commercial time. You cut down 1 minute in between each half inning, you just granted baseball 18 minutes right there. You're talking about a 3 hour, 5 minute game that's closer to, you know, 2:45 at that point, right there without even putting in a pitch clock in. So those are the two most important steps baseball needs to take to address pace of play.
Okay, so here's another question for you, Matt. If there is a work stoppage, and again, I keep using that term, if there's no season this year, because right now it does, it feels like a work stoppage, that the players and owners obviously can't agree on financial terms, and it feels like a strike or a lockout, take your pick. It doesn't really matter. But let's say that they don't play the season. But, and maybe they don't even play next one, or at least a good chunk of it. But the baseball that comes back has a pitch clock, has rules against the shift. It is a better, crisper, faster version of what it is now. Now, when you say how much faster, I'm not going to be able to give you that answer. But the game improves. Is it worth it?
Yes, although let me say that I don't think now is the right time for a work stoppage when the world is in a pandemic and we need sports and we need stuff like that. I think baseball needs a reckoning. I think baseball needs a crisis. I just don't think now is the time for the crisis. At the end of 2021, I'm all for it. You know, if baseball needs to shut down for a year to get its act in gear, to get a pitch clock, to change the presentation on television, to get more balls in play, you know, to bring back a much better, crisper baseball game, I'm all for it. I just think now is a really dangerous time for the sport to have that reckoning. You're almost better having the sport as it is for a half season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're going to have to burn it down eventually. Let's
you
get
do
to
have
it.
To burn
if,
it down
if,
eventually.
If burning it down means you're going to actually get a better baseball back, one that I grew up with, one that is maybe only 15 or so years removed, then burn it down now. The quicker, the better.
So, Murray, as much as you are frustrated with the game, and you're as frustrated as anybody I know, that if they were to come back with a better product, you'd be okay with it?
Oh, 100%.
Okay, so you're not done with the game forever then.
No, I found myself, I've said now a bunch, like I have found myself here during the pandemic while starved for things to watch, especially a sporting event. I have found myself watching some old games. And specifically, I found myself transfixed by game one of the 88 World Series, the Kirk Gibson walk-off game. And it just moves at such a pace.
Like, so much better.
Yeah, it just hit me. I was like, oh, no wonder why I used to love this. I remember this. And it was compelling and it was such a great watch. And it's just anything but now. Like, I actually, look, I liked the postseason last year, and it was a good story with the Nationals. But more often than not, those games are interminable. Even the, right. the compelling ones. It's like, at some point, I got to go to hell to bed. Like, a 4-hour game, F off.
Right. That's the problem.
So Murray, the game you saw from 1988 was a different sport. They're totally different. The game's played totally differently now. Not that I'm telling you anything you don't know. And it's interminable. It's impossible to watch. And it's impossible to watch for nine innings. Anyway, you got to take breaks. You got to check out. You've got to completely, unattach at some points because it's absolutely mind-numbing.
But it's just as simple as, and you guys know, it's, you know, with the pitcher and the catcher, it's get ball, throw ball, get ball, throw ball. Ball is actually in play. You're not sitting there trying to milk a walk because a walk is as good as a hit. Just put the effing ball in play, get the ball, throw the ball. It's pretty simple.
You can fix that by expanding the strike zone. There are so many little things. You don't need to fundamentally alter the game, change it to seven. There are just so many little things that baseball can do, and it feels like it does need a crisis to eventually put those things in place, Matt.
So I'm hopeful that I'm happy to hear Murray say that because I deemed him to be a lost cause. Mm-hmm. I mean, in more ways than one, but let's stick to the baseball part of it, Murray. Like I do. It's one of those things where I thought, oh, they've lost Murray. Forget it. He's just not interested in the game anymore. And not that I could blame you because I think a lot of people feel that way. I'd like to see the game get better. I still think that that if they were to improve the product, that people would be willing to come back to it. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of it. And look, I think it was, I don't remember who it was that told us about initially about 2020 cricket. So, and I'm not a cricket guy. I don't know the rules of cricket. I don't know anything about it. What I do know is that cricket matches could take days to complete.
That's right.
Days. And in parts of the world, I guess it was originally in India where they began it. They instituted a 2020 cricket league where the matches have to be completed. Matt, you're going to help me out here because it sounds like you know about it. 2 hours? Or something like that?
I have no idea. I just know that cricket can take like 3 or 4 days to complete. I'm not familiar with this Indian cricket league, though. But okay, I will happily look it up for you, Maz.
So I'll tell you what. Google it. Not now. Google it on your own time. We don't need to get into the details now. But the point is they instituted a faster version of the sport that was much more spectator-friendly. And you know what happened? It took off like a rocket, and it's now extremely popular. And I think baseball is facing a similar type of crisis or dilemma where they need to completely, you know, modify the sport. And I say overhaul because I think the game needs drastic changes. I know you're a traditionalist, Matt, but for someone who's your age, you are in the extreme minority. Most people your age want nothing to do with it, and I can't blame them. The game moves too slowly. They bastardize the sport and turn it into complete garbage. So I think they need to do something radical now. I think they need to do something aggressive. And I'm hoping that these things are part of the discussion, rather, when they start talking about the new CBA. I don't know if it will be, and I might be completely naive for thinking that, but when I hear that players are standing in the way of pace of play initiatives, it suggests to me that they're going to have to be handled in the bargaining agreement. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. In any case, again, we've covered a lot of ground today. The final word is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nope.
Couple items to get to in the final word today. You need Jim Murray to reach out to one of your friends, bust his chops, hold him accountable for something stupid he did.
We've pulled another one of these, huh?
You can find...
great.
Just trying to make you some money, Jim Murray.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. There's no endorsements, no voiceover work, no side gigs. So if the kid here is more than willing to dance for the people on Cameo for the low, low cost of $15.
So let's get a check in on Jim Murray and Cameo and see what type of messages he's sending out to the people that, of course, the people paid him to send out.
Positive Polly G. Hey, buddy. It's Big Jim from Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Team New England here tells me that we've met before over at Five Horses in Somerville. Remember Five Horses in Somerville? Remember bars and places we used to get to go to? Oh, God, it just... Oh, it's just the worst. Anyway, positive Pauly G. You're turning 35. That's positive and good news, right? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday has been for you, Pauly G. Happy birthday to you.
Hey, Connor, what's up? It's Big Jim from 98.5 The Sports Hub. See, there's the sign behind me to prove it. Your boy Justin Murphy tells me you're not a big fan, which, hey, I can understand. I'm not for everybody. Polarizing I am at times. Maybe it's the hipster doofus look. People get on me for that. Or it was a bad take. I said something about the Patriots that made you upset someday. I don't know. And frankly, I don't care. Whatever. As long as you feel something. And if it's hate, I'm okay with that. But Justin wants me to bust your balls a little bit. Tells me you're 29. Your nickname is the Big Cat. I'm not going to get on you for that. That's actually a great nickname. And I love cats. They're so adorable.
We got Freddy Kittens back at home.
Yeah. That was the sound of me blowing my brains out, too, with it in that first one.
I think we got that.
Reminiscing about the good times.
So it is always amusing when you get a request, Murray, and someone says, yeah, this person hates you. Can you wish him a happy birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to do it.
So
piece
very
of good. Cake.
Thank you for pulling those, Jimmy. What else we got?
We also have Tony Maz's thoughts on the current situation in baseball.
They were willing to pay out basically $1.5 billion in salary to the players, and then we'll see what happens in the postseason, and maybe we'll make our money back. All they have done in these offers is repackage it over and over and over again. It's the same dollar figure, and the owners have effectively told the players, we are giving you $1.5 billion. It's up to you to figure out how you want to get it. You can either play 76 games at less pay or play 50 games at a higher percentage of pay.
Tell you what, there's some operator error. Our producers worked very hard, Jimmy Stewart, Billy Lanny on this. How about I play the real version?
Yeah, do it.
Let's do it.
It's the same dollar figure, and the owners have effectively told the players,
gotta get that twit music in there.
We are giving you $1.5 billion. It's up to you to figure out how you want to get it. You can either play 76 games at less pay or play 50 games at a higher percentage of pay. But either way, the dollars are going to come out the same. Do you guys follow me?
Totally. Yeah.
It's all based on percentages.
Okay, so, but at the end of the day, the dollar figure is the same. And then we'll see which players show up and which ones don't.
Because my guess is that they're all not going to show if it's a 50-game season.
That's my guess. That's sort of where we are now. This is the dilemma. So that's the one thing they said.
If we make a little more, you'll make a little more. That's sort of where they're at the moment. But otherwise, the whole thing has been merely repackaged, which is enough to make you say, why are you wasting my time? Either come to a deal or not, you're wasting my effing time. That's what Major League Baseball's doing. They're wasting my time. They're wasting your time. Decide whether you're going to play 50 games or 75, and then let me know. Because the rest of it is driving me bananas. Enough with the bull crap. You want to kill your sport? Kill your damn sport. The whole thing is just absolutely mind-numbing. Repackage it however you want. It's like I said to you, it's that scene in Tommy Boy. Put the guarantee on the box. I'll take a crap in the box, and I'll tell you it's guaranteed if you want. Whatever you want to put in the package, put in the effing package. It's still the same thing. Good God. Ugh. You guys good?
Yeah, you good?
Yeah. Too hot for a Monday there, Maz.
I'm just trying to imagine Mel Allen doing that. You want to take a crap in a box? The twib music playing in the background.
Well, that's basically what this thing amounts to, though. His MLB's trying to sell you crap in a box and tell you that it's guaranteed. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, if you're not giving me a good product, what difference does it make?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.